You're listening to The Geek Parent, connecting modern parenting and today's nerdy generation.
Take it down one time.
And he's up there and he's in the zone.
We educate and entertain parents through board games, video games, tech discoveries, and STEM education. Inspiring a new generation starts now.
Welcome to the Geek Parent Radio with Kat and Josh.
We'll be with you for the next 40 minutes to discuss some of today's tech gadgets, education, discoveries, and parenting in the digital age.
And today on the Geek Parent Talk Show, we are going to discuss food. That's right. You heard me. Recipes, food apps, food games, food discoveries, things we can do with food, not the adult type, and food fights, all kinds of food stuff. So I hope you are ready to listen about food.
Sometimes I feel like I need something to fill me up.
Here, we are not promoting binge eating, but we do promote food for the geek pleasure. So just to inform you guys, as a gamer, I know I have to have something to snack on while I'm playing a video game. And so to curb my craving for junk food, I actually keep a jar of honey roasted cashews on my desk so that when I need to grab something to snack on, and I'm too damn lazy to get up while I'm gaming, I will force myself to reach for the cashews instead. So that is kind of like my geek gaming food. What about you, Josh? What do you like to snack on while you're gaming or playing on your tablet or whatever?
Well, you know, I try to only eat healthy vegetables, so I usually keep Fritos.
Is it the chili type of Fritos?
Oh yes, the chili cheese Fritos. Because I'm getting chili, man. Cheese is dairy. Fritos are corn, uh-huh. Right? I mean, it's pretty close
right.
to corn.
Yep. But there you go. You've got the basic necessities right there.
That's kind of like when I want to have all my major food groups, I just eat at Taco Bell because that's pretty much it, right? I mean, you got tomatoes. So you got your fruit. You got your vegetables because you got lettuce. You got your meat. You got your protein with your meat. You got the corn tortilla. I mean, come on, it's perfect.
You can't beat that.
so Kat, I just
gaming?
I have to tell you something. I saw this on Facebook today, talking
uh-huh.
about food. McDonald's
right.
is launching a Big Mac clothing line.
What?
Yeah, they have yoga pants. They have like a jacket, some galoshes.
Oh, my God. The galoshes, those work well for the McDonald's I go to. I'm wondering why that McDonald's is around all those strip joints. That's horrible. I know this is a family-friendly radio. But But I just had to say it. It's just one of those moments. That's awesome. You know, I like Fritos too, though. Is that one of your favorites?
Fritos is the one I get the most. Funyuns, I like Funyuns. Oh man, I always forget the name of them. They're those ones that like they're eating like puffs of air, like crisp puffs of air.
Is it a cheese? Like Cheetos or something?
No, not Cheetos. They're like I don't know. Oh well, they're like they're like crunchy puffs of air.
There's a new Kickstarter for you, crunchy puffs of air. That's like selling bottled water. Works out great.
It's a can of AIR.
There you go. I do actually snack on the cashews. That's probably one of my favorites, but I do it because I will grab whatever my kids have in the pantry to snack on while I'm gaming. But my husband, on the other hand, he loves ice cream. He's a big ice cream fanatic, but I think I was completely turned off by ice cream after a few minutes watching Little Baby's ice cream commercials.
There's good reason for my glistening skin and how I shine and how my pores are so clean and clear. I eat Little Baby's ice cream. It keeps me young. It keeps me light on my feet. I spring from activity to activity. I love my job. I love my life. When you eat Little Baby's ice cream, you'll wink and nod and hug and high-five each other with great enthusiasm. This is a special time. Little Baby's ice cream. Ice cream is a feeling.
That's kind of a creepy commercial.
So would that get you to eat ice cream?
No. I picture some clown saying that.
Oh, you have a thing against clowns. Are you afraid of clowns?
I'm not afraid of clowns. I just, you know, clowns always look evil to me.
They did since I watched the movie It. I think that kind of did it for me. But you're right, that Little Baby's ice cream commercial really freaked me out. And if you haven't seen it, you can find it on YouTube, and I know a lot of you are being curious as to what this person is doing after hearing that. And he's basically pouring ice cream all over his body.
Yeah, I'm definitely not watching it now.
It's one of those, you know, videos that you can't take back.
You can't unsee.
Yes.
You can't unsee.
That's correct. So Little Baby's ice cream, that one was probably one of my worst food commercials ever. Ever. And it kind of turned me off with ice cream for that. So I don't really eat ice cream that much after watching that. But since we're talking about food in this wired age with technology and food, they've kind of come a long way together. And in fact, there's some new inspiring things for food and technology mixed, and some great opportunities as well. And we're going to take a little bit of time to talk about some of the opportunities. Have you ever heard of a food technology career, Josh?
I haven't heard of it, but I'd have to assume it's something with creating foods and different, like, you know, creating different nachos or meals at Taco Bell or something, which would be an awesome job.
It would. It does. It sounds like that, except for I wouldn't want to be the person trying the new things. Because what if it didn't really come out that great? You know, it just, I don't know if my taste buds could handle that. But it is, food technology careers are very popular, and they've become very popular over the past couple of years because of the way technology has embraced the industries. So if you want to get, if you're interested and you want to get a job, and you're listening as a food technologist, let me tell you a little bit about what a food technologist does. A food technologist researches new food and beverage products and develops ways to produce and improve the qualities, the quality of these products. So they may also develop or improve the processing of the food, the packaging, the storage, and the safety for food in accordance with the government, you know, and the industry standards. And the requirement that you need in order to become a food technologist is a bachelor's degree in food science. So you have to know your science a little bit. I mean, obviously agriculture is going to be a big thing too, because you want to know what you can kind of mix in there together to get that taste. But Starbucks, you're talking about some famous companies. Starbucks has, you know, food technologists. And, you know, the big name companies, some of the larger technologists that work with them. And they, you know, they want to make sure that the process and the packaging and the storage and the safety and everything of the food is quality. And the pay for this is pretty good. It really made me think about, wow, I should have gone into this, but I was never very good at science. I don't know, what would that kind of entice you, a food technologist, Josh?
Yes. Now, if we went a space, you know, a bit further in a beer technologist, that would totally entice you. You got me at 100%. I mean, beer's a food,
you know,
right?
Yeah. I think a lot of Irish people take that beer technologist job.
But that would be pretty cool. I've seen some of the Taco Bell creations, uh-huh, and Starbucks and their different tastes. And just working at Starbucks, I actually had one this morning that was a girl just mixed it together, and she called it snickerdoodle coffee. And it tasted like a snickerdoodle, and it was really good. And she just was behind the barista counter. Yeah, Starbucks. She took the – oh, man, I don't remember what she took now. But you've seen those, the secret menu at Starbucks. I've had a couple of those made, and there's a lot you can do with, you know, different types of flavors.
Right. I'll have to try that snickerdoodle one. I haven't tried that one yet. That sounds really, really good. The food technologist career was you wouldn't believe if you did a search on how many food technologist careers are out there. It's insane. I mean, the industry is flooding with people who know, you know, have the science and the technology ability to mix it with food. And now that of course brings us to the next topic, but there's some benefits and, you know, of course some not so good things with it. But food technologist is a career. If anybody is interested and you're interested in finding out how to become one, we'll have that information up on thegeekparent.com, and it requires a bachelor's degree in food science. So if you're into that stuff and you are a food lover and you like science as well, I would check that out. I would definitely check that out. And talking about food and technology, I'm kind of going to go into a little bit of genetic engineering. Now, some people might not agree with this, but it's still a part of the food industry, you know, engineering industry. And I'm talking about genetic engineering. It's like the modification of an organism's genetic composition. So for those of you who don't really understand it, it involves transferring specific traits and genes from one organism into a plant or an animal, or, you know, kind of mixing things together. And a lot of people don't like this done with their food. Are you one of those people, Josh?
We've been doing it for eons anyway. So, I mean, the only reason we have the foods we have today, you know, corn, is through a process of genetic engineering. So I don't really have a problem with it. I mean, you could serve me up a sharktopus, you know, hey, I'm all for it.
I really don't have a problem with it either. I just, you know, I know some of the obviously some advocates aren't too keen on it, and I'd love to hear about some people who aren't for genetically engineered food, and that's fine too. But let's just kind of go over a little bit of the potential benefits of it and the potential risks of it, since we are talking about food and technology in a whole. Now, some of the benefits is that the food is more nutritious, and the food can taste better,
yep.
And it's decreased use of the pesticides, and increased supply of food with a reduced cost of the longer shelf life. So you can have, you know, a longer shelf life for that. Faster growing plants and animals. Food with more desirable traits, such as potatoes, that absorb less fat when fried. I mean,
yeah.
I would love to have, I could eat potatoes constantly. In fact, when I used to work at a grocery store, and I had an older lady that came in, and every single time she would see me, and she would ask me the same question every time, and she would say, "You don't eat potatoes, do you?" And I didn't get it at first. I kept saying, "No, I do, ma'am. I eat potatoes. In fact, I eat potatoes a lot." But the fact was that she thought I didn't eat potatoes because potatoes could be fattening. And I was such a skinny little mini Asian girl at the time. But so when you genetically engineer some of these foods, you can create things that are less, you know, absorb less fat for that. And then, of course, you have the medical foods that can be used in vaccines and other medications. I mean, that's
yeah.
a big thing. That right there, I think, is a really great thing. Now, of course, you're going to have your potential risks, which, you know, would include modified plants or animals that have, you know, genetic changes. They're unexpected and harmful, maybe. We don't know, but we're always taking risks as humans. And then, of course, you have the plants that are less resistant to some pests and more susceptible to others. So, I don't know. I think there's more benefits than there are risks. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I would agree.
Me too. I would too. So basically that, in fact, if you're interested in doing the food technology careers, genetic engineering is a great one too. That's a great field to kind of get into as well. Because honestly,
if you can,
yes, that wouldn't be for me. That would not be for me. I just want somebody to invent a pizza that would never go away.
Oh.
Just constantly be there for me, reappear in my hand over and over. And non-fattening, of course. We have to make sure that it's non-fattening. So I could eat it constantly and not gain any weight. That would be the greatest genetic engineered pizza.
I'm surprised they don't have it. I mean, pizza is like the number one consumed food in the United States. And, why can't they? I mean, come on, pizza should be healthy, right?
It should be there.
It's got the food.
Yeah.
We're
talking about
like
pizza. It has cheese, dairy, right?
Yeah, dairy.
Pasta on it. I mean,
the sauce is tomatoes.
Bread. Exactly.
Grain.
Are we making up our own little chart there? I don't care. I love pizza. You know, usually it's a tradition for us on Friday nights, pizza night.
Growing up, it used to be that way.
Yeah, and especially if you have a raid, when you're going to go, you know, World of Warcraft or something, you're going to raid, and you're like, no, I'm not cooking tonight. We're having pizza. It's one of those things. Of course, my family hears that a lot. No, I'm not cooking tonight. Yeah, I'm horrible. That's what you get for having a gaming mom. Hope my husband's listening. Some of the benefits and the disadvantages, huh? I can cook, Josh. I just want to let you know that. I can cook. I just don't like to cook.
Boiling water is not considered cooking, right?
Do you know I burn boiling water? I'm horrible. My son says to me, "Mom, I don't think you should be gaming if you're cooking because the water is burnt." And I'm like, "What?" Yeah, so I don't think I'm grounded from that. But that should be one of those food and technology mix type things. I need to have. Come on, Josh. You need to make me a robot here that can cook food for me.
That'll cook. Well, that's right. I mean, they're coming. I mean, just check Kickstarter. Later on, I'll show you an article where they have one. So.
Oh man, is that going to be what's that girl's name from the Jetsons? The robot, Rosie, right?
Oh, what did you say?
Was it Rosie? Rosie.
Yes, Rosie. Yep.
Rosie. I need a Rosie. I need a Rosie.
You need a Rosie.
Rosie Rutt. A Rosie Cheek? What? Oh, so April is food month, moving into food month. We've got a lot coming up for, if you're talking about food, we have National Bake Week, National Egg Salad Week, National Hot Cross Bun Day for Good Friday, if you celebrate Easter, National Baked Ham with Pineapple Day. Hot cross buns. I remember that when I was younger. Do you eat ham, Josh?
Yeah.
I like ham.
Yep.
Do you like it? Do you like just regular ham, or do you have to have something like brown sugar and pineapples on it?
Usually when I make a ham, it's a brown sugar glaze that I put on it, and then I throw a little, I kind of just tinker, throw a little spices on it or put a rub on it, and I usually tinker around with my hands. I love cooking, so I tinker around.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm going to have to make a trip to your house sometime. This is looking good. Gives me more of a reason to come to Indiana.
Well, that's
so,
maybe about the only one after today's voting.
You know, I have to. I'm going to be the only one. That is true, Josh. That is true. I feel so bad for you. We are talking about food today on thegeekparent.com, Food and Technology Mixed. If you've missed us the first 10 minutes, then you have missed quite a bit because we went through some genetic engineering as well as some jobs that are in the food technology industry. And now Josh is going to tell us a little bit about
So today's app of the week is, Kat, it's actually be a good one for you. It's How to Cook Everything, and it's an iOS app, and it is it's actually by Mark Bittman, I think is his name, and if I just screwed it up, sorry. Mark Bittman, and he actually has wrote a few books on how to cook. How to Cook Everything, the Basics, How to Cook Everything Vegetarian. He has one that's just called How to Cook Everything. And he came up with a companion app that's the book, but it's on the go. And I've used this for several years now. And with it, you can browse recipes. It updates for different times of the year. And we'll have, like, during Christmas, it'll tell you how to make a Christmas ham. For Thanksgiving, it'll tell you how to cook the perfect turkey. You can type in what ingredients you want to start with, like if you want to do a lamb, and then it tells you how to cook. And when you open the cookbook, it gives you a shopping list. And let's see. And then, well, you go like step-by-step instructions, and it has a timer in it. It also has a beginning section that gives kitchen basics. See? There you go, Kat, Kitchen Basics.
Perfect.
Tells you equipment and techniques and ingredients and various dishes. It has featured recipes, quick dinners. It's a really cool little app for cooking. It's not my beat-all app for cooking. Unfortunately, I have yet to find one of those. I'd love to find me a cookbook app where I can put a bunch of stuff into it. But it's a really cool app that I've used for several years now to just kind of teach you how to cook different things.
Now, do you use this on your iPad, and then you set that up in the kitchen while you're cooking?
I've used it on both my iPad and my iPhone. It's one of the universal ones between the two. And yeah, you just set it up on the kitchen and follow it.
See, that sounds awesome, because I really need, and I think I also need something that speaks out to me vocally, you know, where they'll say, you know, 10 minutes. For 10 minutes, you got to cook, you know, this on 450 degrees or whatever. And then after 10 minutes, we'll say, Cat, where are you? Cat?
Okay, so what you're telling me is you don't need a book that – you don't need one that talks to you. You need one that, like, shocks your gaming chair that says, you know, hey, get back up. Cook. You're going to burn the water.
You know, that's a great idea for a Kickstarter there, Josh. You get one of those things in game, an app in game, while you're gaming. It completely shuts the game down and has something on the screen that says, get up for 10 minutes. You need to go cook.
So is this like a universal app for when you're pulling aggro or your screen turns red? But this one's when you're pulling cook row. That was a bad makeup word, but
cook aggro.
Yeah, cook aggro. Yeah, there we go.
That's it. You know, like you have wife aggro, you have regular aggro, husband aggro sometimes, kids aggro,
white wife aggro, kids aggro. Yeah.
Yep. Now you have cook aggro, and I think that'd be a great app. And it just, of course, that would suck if you were playing a game in the middle of PvP and your cook aggro popped up.
Well, I really hope you're not in the middle of something in some important gaming event, or you're in the middle of cooking and you start some important gaming event. I mean, I don't know if there's much you can do about that.
No. Okay, we won't tell my life story. That's about me wrapped up. I like it. How to Cook Everything by Mark Bittman. That's how you say his name, right?
I believe so, yes.
What is it spelled? Bittman? Bittman?
Yes, Bittman.
Oh, Bittman. Okay.
Yep.
By Mark Bittman, How to Cook Everything. What kind of name is that to go with Mark Bittman, How to Cook Everything?
Wow.
Okay, Mark. Okay, Mark. We should bring Mark on here and teach me how to cook, huh? I think we might need
more than 45 minutes.
Josh, I have a love-hate relationship with you. Oh, I like it. How to Cook Everything by Mark Bittman. We're going to add that onto our website so that everybody can learn how to cook just as good as Kat. And then I want to see some of the things you've cooked from How to Cook Everything, and you can post those on our Facebook, and we will see who made the best. And I do not post somebody else's recipe. That's so lame. We'll see who cooked the best and how it turns out, and kind of vote on that. And for my app of the week, I am going to talk about Open Table. I don't know. Have you ever tried this, Josh, Open Table?
No, I have not.
I use Open Table all the time, and I absolutely love it. And what it is it's a reservation system for restaurants. And you can go in, look for your specific city or the closest city to you or whatever, and then within your area, you can find restaurants that are working with Open Table. And we use this a lot on date nights. Or nights or celebrations, you know, like birthdays and things like that. And you can just go in. It's on the iPhone, the iOS, the Android, and then you can do it on the PC as well. So you can go in and then you look for wherever you would like to, to eat, and what you can kind of divide it by the type of food you want or the location and so forth, how classy you want it or just casual. However you want to find whatever restaurant, and then make reservations, and you can set it for whatever time that they have available, and then however many people are in your party. And it's wonderful. And what happens is after you make that reservation, you're all set. You just go in, and then you have your dinner or lunch or whatever, and then when you come back, the restaurant will also email you an update to see how well the service was, how you liked your food, and then you'll get points as well for answering the questions, and then for each points that kind of build up, you can get free dinners. So it's it works great. I love it. We have not had a problem once, at least not never, since we've used it. And we've always had our reservation, and they've been great. As soon as they know that we've used OpenTable, they are right there seating us, and the food has I've never had a problem with any of the food. So I would suggest using it. It's OpenTable. You can download it for iOS, for Android, and on the PC at OpenTable.com. So your next special dinner there, Josh, you could try OpenTable.
Awesome.
Definitely. And I think it's great because it makes it easier for my husband, who doesn't know how to make reservations, and he hates calling to make reservations. So if he wants to surprise me, he'll use the open table because that'll work. He doesn't have to talk with anybody. And
I can understand the pain in that one.
Well, you know him. He doesn't like to talk.
Well, yes. And I hate calling in that. Well, do you have any tables open? Or
I
don't know what I'm doing. What's the protocol for this? Do I tip you a five? What do I do? I don't understand.
There's no picture for it. I don't know where the picture is for the tables. That's right. And not only that, but I sometimes if I call in, I'll get there and they'll say, "Well, we don't have you down." You know, something will happen with the switch over in waiters or waitresses or whatever in the shift, and it'll just disappear. So OpenTable has it right there, and people can post reviews and so forth about it, and it goes right directly to the corporate location. So it kind of makes it a lot nicer to have that. So it's OpenTable.com, and then if you're not going to be making reservations at OpenTable, you can get Josh's app for how to cook everything from Mark Bittman.
And for this week's Tech of the Week, it's kind of like your bot that you were talking about. It's actually called Pancake Bot, and they've labeled it as the world's first pancake printer. And it's pretty awesome.
Okay, you can print your pancakes.
Yes. Have you seen those where they usually have the artist? And he's doing the pancake pictures, and they've done the Star Wars ones, and where he kind of draws on the thing, and he flips it over, and it's a picture of Yoda or Vader. Well, this is kind of under the same premise, but it is a little robot. It's just like the 3D printers. It's over a griddle, and you can have your kids draw you a picture, and you upload it to the computer, to the little program that they give you with it, and you trace the outlines, and then you fill in stuff, and it makes a picture, and it uses the printer, and it prints out the uploaded picture as best as pancake batter can, and then you flip it over, and you have yourself your picture.
Oh, my gosh, this thing is amazing. It's so fun looking.
It is.
Really, really neat. You know, because you see a lot of those, I don't know if you see them on Facebook, where people pass around the pictures of the pancakes, the special pancakes that people make, like Yoda, for Valentine's Day, things like that. And I could never do that. I am not that creative. I can't cook.
mine would look like Slimer or something. That's about it.
Exactly. You saw my pancake today, didn't you? We posted the pancake up on Facebook, and I had a pancake, and I put little cross eyes on him and a little sad face.
That's the best
pancake I could do. Yeah, it was a little bear, a little bear pancake. And he, you know, I couldn't really draw anything on his face. My son was like, he needs a face. So I put like little cross eyes on him and a little sad face because I'm not that creative. But this thing is awesome. I could really rock the house with this. My kids love pancakes. And what is this, a 3D printer?
Well, it is. I believe it's somewhat like a 3D printer, but they're just using it to do pancakes.
That is so, it's just neat.
Very cool.
Yeah, and the kids would love to do this. Now, you put this on, that it draws, this pancake bot draws out onto, is a grill, right? Like a griddle or something?
Yeah, it's just a little, it looks like a standard griddle.
They have examples on here, too. We are definitely going to have to make sure that we put this on the website because this is just so fun looking.
And they've reached their goal. They still got 14 days, but they've way surpassed their goal. So we aren't the only ones who think it's cool.
I really, really like this. Now, when do they end? They end on...
They have 14 days to go, so Friday, April 10th.
Okay. So if you're interested in this pancake bot, either getting one yourself or supporting and backing this Kickstarter up, we'll put this on the website at thegeekparent.com. And then we will, if you get one, then take a picture of it and show us. Show us what you've created and what you've made with it as well, because these are really artistic. And I would love this. This might actually even roll over well in restaurants, you know, for the kids and so forth, weddings.
Well that's, yeah, that's one of the things he says is companies, different companies having fun little outings. They could put their logos on it. If somebody buys one and they wanted to do the Geek Parent logo and send it to us, that would be, like, awesome.
Wow.
It's really cool.
Yeah, I would definitely get myself one of these after a while because it was just for the fun, just to play around with it. And, of course, I noticed they say batter not included. So you're going to have to at least dish out some money for your batter as well. But it has everything to it. It has, the batter, the SD card, the pancake bot. I mean, you put all that together and you can make one heck of a design, and that would be some really neat things. I like this. Josh, you are just one heck of a guy to find all these neat little inventions here. And that's Pancake Bot, world's first pancake printer. Thank you to Josh for that. Josh, you think you're going to get one of these?
Oh, I'd love to get one. I don't know that I can afford one, but I would love to get one. I mean, that would be... You know, with 4 miles, six total, actually, miles to feed, I don't know that it would be practical.
Right.
I would
right.
end up just doing
exactly.
six pancakes of just dots, just so I didn't have to stand there and do it.
Right, because that was my other question, was how long does it take to, I know obviously it's going to depend on the object that it's trying to create, but for me, if I'm, making pancakes and my kids are hungry, is it easier to just make a big blotchy pancake, or is it, okay, what kind of pancake do you want? If you want a heart, you're going to have to wait 5 minutes.
I just make smiley faces all the way around. Hey, sorry, you get a smiley face. Go read it.
Dad, you're so cool.
If you want to make something later,
it.
If you want to be a pancake Picasso, you do that on your own time. Dad's cooking breakfast.
That's right.
I got bacon. I got pancakes.
That's right. Baking comes first. Sorry.
Well, I got to have something to eat while I'm making pancakes.
That's right. You got to have that bacon. Awesome. I love the pancake bot. We'll put that on thegeekparent.com, and you guys can show us what kind of pancakes you make if you get the pancake printer. And we're going to move on to video game or web game of the week. And since we're talking about food, I have chosen Zanga's Chefville. I don't know. Have you played this game before, Josh?
I don't think I played Chefville. I played some of the other little baking games, but I don't believe I played Chefville.
I'm not too – I like Farmville. You know, I like the little bills. I think they're kind of cute. But I did like Chefville. It wasn't too bad. Chefville is Zanga's second game in the restaurant genre, followed by Cafe World. So they've basically made Chefville where you act as the chef, the restaurant owner, and the designer and the manager, of course. And the goal is to create, like, a dream restaurant. And the player customizes the restaurant to specific themes, such as 1950s or Italian restaurants. And you can kind of mix and match food types while you're cooking and serving. So you would choose your restaurant decor. You choose the type of stations and the type of grills that you want. And there's thousands of different decoration type things and cooking abilities. But you have to learn these new recipes. And the great thing about it is while you're learning these recipes, they can be emailed to you, the real recipes. And they literally have the real recipes. Yes, it's so neat. I mean, you can literally have a recipe for, I don't know if I'm going to say it right, like confit de canard with potatoes au gratin, or miso soup, or bruschetta and roasted asparagus. I mean, you can have all this stuff that you're cooking up in Chefville, and literally have the recipes there for you. I mean, it's really a neat thing because these are real recipes that they use. It's not some made up recipes. So it's become a big hit, and it debuted in August of 2012, and then it was released in October of 2012. So it's been out for a while, but it's probably one of my favorite games. I really enjoy it. You obviously are going to have friends that help you out because you have to get certain, ingredients for the recipes, and you can only get so many at a time unless you have friends that help you out. So I would check it out. It's called Chefville, and you can get that on Facebook, but I would recommend just going to Zanga.com because you don't have to literally be friends with somebody to play with them on Chefville or any of the other bills if you go directly to Zanga. So, again, it's Chefville, and I like it. So I would highly recommend trying it out, Josh, if you're into that bill stuff or if your wife is into it. My daughter and I both like that stuff too. And my son's tried it out. Of course, he's burnt a couple of things, so I didn't feel so bad in real life. But but it helps out a lot with people I enjoy playing with. So it's, again, Zanga Chefville, and you can get it from Zanga.com, and we will have that on our website as well. And that's it from the Geek Parent Radio. Thank you for allowing us into your homes or your office this evening. Links, photos, and more information on anything we discussed tonight can be found from our website at thegeekparent.com.
You can also keep updated with our discussions, upcoming guests, and future topics on Facebook, Twitter, and Google. Just visit our website and click the social media links.
And I hope you enjoyed our Geeks Gotta Have Food episode, discussing some of these great new inventions that have to do with food and careers and so forth. So enjoy the rest of your week, and we look forward to talking to you again, right here, every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, unless Josh is eating his spinach, then we will move.
Then you just leave me alone.
Until then, I'm Kat Mahoney.
And I'm Josh Ostellers. See you next week. Same geek time, same geek channel.